Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our next to last Psalms devotional time together. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. And boy, I just thought I'd try something different this morning. It kind of blew up in my face very last minute. So that's always fun. Anyway, we're here for Psalm 82, and next week will be Psalm 83. If you're new or newer to these Psalms devotionals, we started these March of last year, right, when COVID happened and the whole shutdown. And first I just started going through a selection of my favorite Psalms, and then I decided to go through all of them. But I skipped the Psalms of Asaph because I preached on those last summer at the same time I was doing these devotionals. So I said, I'll just, because I'm preaching on those, I won't do devotionals on them. But then I decided, well, it'd be nice to have a complete set. So we've been going in and sort of filling in the gaps. And the last gap to fill in were the Psalms of Asaph, which Friday morning with Psalm 83 will bring us to the end of the Psalms of Asaph. And we'll be finished with our journey through the Psalms. We'll have a complete library of 150 Psalms. I'm also preaching through the Psalms in the summer. This summer, I'm in the Psalms of the Sons of Korah. And so, you know, you can have that. So eventually, I think what I'm envisioning is a page on our church website where for each of the 150 Psalms, you can get both the devotional and the sermon as I preach through those. So anyway, we're in Psalm 82 this morning, and let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Because I need it this morning. Heavenly Father, we are always dependent upon your help. And at times you humble us and show us how weak we are and how fragile we are and how much we need you. So, Father, would you be with us this morning as we look to you in Psalm 82? Would you write this psalm in our hearts, even as you inspired it through Asaph many, many years ago? Would you make it living and active in our lives, able to penetrate to our hearts and able to make us wise unto salvation through your word working in our hearts? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 82, a psalm of Asaph. God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked, Selah? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. What a powerful, short psalm. It actually touches on many of the themes from the psalm I preached this past Sunday, Psalm 46, and the psalm I'm going to preach this coming Sunday, Psalm 47. As you spend a lot of time in the psalms, you see a lot of the themes from different psalms connect, and you see these major threads that God is weaving through the psalms. But here, this is a judgment psalm. It is God taking his place to judge. And he's taking his place in the divine council, it says. So that's in the heavenly courts. But then he summons the mighty of the earth, whom he calls the gods. And then there's a call for God to arise and judge the earth. So there's a progression in this psalm. In the midst of the gods, the mighty ones, in the divine council. Now, this could be a reference to angelic powers. It could also be a reference later to earthly powers. You are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die. And what's interesting in Scripture, you see this in Paul a lot. So if you're familiar with the Apostle Paul and the way he speaks about these things, he talks about authorities, principalities, powers, rulers in the heavenly places, right? And the language he uses sort of mingles together earthly rulers and authorities with heavenly rulers and authorities. And there is this picture in Scripture that sort of, there are earthly powers, obviously. You know, the president of China is rattling his sword, is an expression we might use. He is puffing out his chest and boasting of his great things. You have the Kim family, who have been the rulers in North Korea for a long time, and, you know, President Biden here in America, and et cetera, et cetera. So you have earthly rulers, but behind the scenes, there are spiritual forces in the heavenly places that rule over principalities and powers, that rule over the earth and that exercise their influence. So who is God judging here? Well, the answer to that question, of course, is both of them, right? Everybody. Yes, he is judging them all, and he will judge them all. So God's judgment, when we get to the end of all things, at the end of Revelation, when verse 8 is fulfilled, "Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations." When that wonderful, powerful prayer is answered fully on the final day of judgment, the Lord Jesus himself, as God Almighty in the flesh, the God-man, the ruler of the kings of the earth, he comes and judges everyone. And what's incredible to think about is that God tells us that we will participate in that judgment, that we will judge even the angels, the fallen angels, the demons who have tormented us and persecuted us and tempted us and then shamed us. We will be a part of that judgment day. What are the things that God is judging? What are the things that God is upset about that stirs his justice? Well, it's injustice in the earth. We are made in God's image. We are sons of the Most High God in that way, that we're made in the image of God, and we are given dominion. We are given authority. But when we exercise that dominion and that authority in a selfish, brutal, corrupt way, we mar, we distort the image of God. So many people in the world don't believe in God, don't trust God, because all they've ever seen of power and authority is selfish and corrupt. And that's an assault on the very throne of God when we corrupt justice in that way. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? You see, the wicked will come in and bribe the judge, and then, you know, the judge takes the bribe and gives the wicked their way, and we're left to think, what's going on here? Instead, give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. We are called to stand for a justice that takes the side of those who are being trampled by the world, and that upholds their rights and their dignity and their justice. The rulers of the earth. The rulers of the earth have neither knowledge nor understanding, and they walk about in darkness. You notice the United Nations never opens its session with a stirring rendition of "Holy, Holy, Holy." They never call for a time of fasting and prayer to the one true triune God, who is in fact the creator and ruler of the nations. They never do so because they're in darkness. They have neither knowledge nor understanding of what is really true, of what is eternal, of what is right, of what is just. And without God as the source of all that is good and right and holy and just, we're just stumbling about blind in the dark, wondering what's right and what's wrong. And so God passes his judgment upon the rulers of the earth, as well as the demons who are behind their earthly thrones. You are God, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince. My mind goes back to World War II and Benito Mussolini, who, stepped down from his office as Il Duce, the ruler. But he was chased down by a mob, and he was beaten to death, and his body hung in shame. Or Adolf Hitler, who, in the very last minute, married his longtime mistress Eva Braun, and then in cowardice, they both poisoned and shot themselves. They were such great men who boasted such great things and who plunged the world into absolute darkness and chaos, and in the end they just died like men. They're nothing. They're nothing in the eyes of God and in the light of eternity. Men are weak and frail and foolish and temporary. We should never put our hope in any man, ever, because men are weak and frail and foolish and temporary. Instead, our hope should be the hope of verse 8. The cry of our heart should be the cry of verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations. Who is the eternal King? The one who is God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who will judge the earth? The one who is the righteous one, the one who has no sin on his hands, the one who has never corrupted justice, the one who has never sided with the wicked, the one who has never taken a bribe, the one who has never wavered from the perfection of his wisdom and understanding and knowledge and justice. The Lord Jesus Christ will come, and he will be the one true and eternal judge, the rightful judge of everyone who has ever lived or is living now or will live before he comes again. And on that day, judgment will come. It will come against all who have suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. It will come against all of those who have chosen wickedness and forsaken righteousness. It will come, and we will have no excuse. Only those who belong to the Lord Jesus, only those who have hidden themselves in the shadow of his cross, only those who have cried out to him for mercy now will be spared on that day of judgment. So I would plead with you that if you have not cried out to the Lord, the King, the Judge, for mercy, he is a merciful and faithful Savior, just as he will be a righteous and faithful Judge. Cry out to him. Ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you, to make you right, and to seal you as his on that day. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for loving us with a love that's beyond our comprehension, that you would send your Son, the rightful King and Judge and ruler of the earth, to be our Savior, to die on the cross in our place, to take the punishment that we deserve upon himself, to satisfy your divine justice on our behalf so that we can be forgiven. We pray that you would motivate us to give this gospel to the nations. Even as our hearts cry out, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, we have one more psalm together. Friday morning, Psalm 83. I hope you'll join us. That'll be our final time in the Psalms. We'll go on and do something else after, but I hope you'll be here for that final Psalms devotional time. But have a blessed day in the Lord today.